Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Ryan Dunn.
And I'm Steve Marks.
Hi, Steve. So, as always, Cloud Cover is your eye on the Microsoft Cloud. This week we're going to be covering some news items. We're going to have Steve here talk to us a little bit about the CDN. Mm-hmm. We're going to wrap up with a tip of the week on how to fix a common pitfall when you use the Dev Fabric and generate paths too long. So,
let's start with the news.
Yep. That picture's creeping me out, man.
Yeah, let's get rid of that. We'll come back to that when we talk about the CDN. So first up in the news, we have this event. The Azure Firestarter event is going to be on April 6th, and yours truly will be presenting. There's sort of a crazy description of what I'm going to be talking about on this website. That website is bit.ly/AzureFirestarter. So check it out. It's going to be in Redmond on April 6th. So yep. It's on the Microsoft campus. What did you say, Ryan? It's 300 minutes long, which is how many avatars?
Well, I was going to say it was about like
two and a half avatars. And it's 3D IMAX.
IMAX style. It's interactive. You can actually touch Steve.
You can, and if you ask a question, like live, I answer it and stuff. It's going
to
be
crazy. We'll put the link, by the way. We'll put all the links to everything we talk about here will be actually embedded in the post along with this video. So even though it's bit.ly/AzureFirestarter, which is easy to remember, we'll also kind of put it out there for you in case you forget.
So if you're taking notes, you can stop.
Yeah, stop taking notes. Anyhow, this Azure Firestarter event actually has a number of great sessions in here with not only Steve, but we also have some other folks coming in and covering, for instance, how to migrate applications to the cloud, building applications for the cloud, and a talk on data in the cloud as well. So you can think of it like 300 minutes of what you need to know to get started in Windows Azure.
Yeah, and I present Firestarter right at the beginning, so you can just leave right after that if you've seen everything you want.
Sure. That sounds like a great idea. Next. What's next week, Steve?
It's Mix, I think.
Mix?
Yeah, it's a little conference. You might have heard of it. It's called Mix. Mix stands for... What does Mix stand for again?
Momentous, impactful, and xenophobic?
Yeah, I think that's it. This is better than I can come up with. Mix 10.
That sounds actually really bad. Isn't xenophobia
it does
kind
sound
of bad?
It doesn't stand for that, people. Mix is really... Mix really means... Originally, I think the meaning of the word mix and why it was used for the conference is because it's a mix of developers and designers and even a few business people who made it past the bouncer somehow. And so it's a good group of people. It happens in Vegas. And so
it always happens in Vegas, but this year we're actually a different location. We've been at the Venetian every year. This year we're at, is it Monterey Bay?
Mandalay Bay.
All right. I know my casinos.
Yeah. This is all a cover. Ryan's a Vegas regular. He's just trying to make it sound like he isn't.
So we actually have 11 sessions on
11
here.
Sessions.
12 counting the pre-session with Chris Auld, who, by the way, fantastic presenter. Yours truly again, not yours truly, but yours truly, pointing to Steve, is actually going to be giving the lap around talk.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, best demo ever. Make sure you attend this one. Steve, no pressure.
Yeah, thanks.
BDE, best demo ever.
Okay, good.
There's a bunch of other interesting talks in here. So we'll, in addition to the tooling, we're going to have Ruby on Rails, PHP, yep. Of course, Service Bus talks with the Service Bus talk with a fantastic speaker, Clemens.
Clemens is great.
Clemens is an amazing speaker in there. And SQL Azure, David Robinson's going to be covering using SQL Azure as well. So there's quite a few talks, and with one exception, none of them overlap. So you could actually have a smorgasbord of Azure content dripping all over you.
Non-overlapping smorgasbord.
Yeah, non-overlapping smorgasbord.
Good, that's a technical term. one session that I think is really cool that we're doing this year is Silverlight and Windows Azure.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Guy Matt Kerner from our team, who's a really good presenter, is going to be talking about just how to put those two things together. Some gotchas about what happens when you use Silverlight and Windows Azure and things you got to know. And doing a couple demos that just show how things work out.
Matt had a terrific talk at PDC
absolutely.
A few months ago. So, yeah, again, great presenter. I think it'd be a great talk. I can't wait to see some of these myself.
Yep, and we'll put links, of course, to the Mix site and to so that you can see the Windows Azure and Windows Azure platform tags.
If you go to livevisitmix.com and you look at the sessions, you'll see the tags on the side, Windows Azure platform, and you'll find all the sessions.
But
that
remember,
way.
Nobody's taking notes anymore, so we still have to put it on the side. We're gonna have to.
I'll do it.
All right,
I can handle it. Next, I ran across this.
Yep.
RSS bus for Windows Azure. So a company called. Is it slash N or just
I
like
they
to just say
N software?
Yeah, it seems a little weird.
N software.
N software produces a set of components called RSS bus, and essentially what this allows you to do is connect to a variety of different data sources, and it flattens the data such that it's easily consumable using just like XML, JSON, HTML, I think CSV or Excel format is some of them as well. And you'll notice they have a number of connectors in here. So for CRM systems, databases, everything like that. The announcement here is that they have this up and running in Windows Azure, which means you can string together some pretty simple applications, powerful but simple, using these connectors and interact with them just in a standard way, like with JSON, for instance.
And N Software has actually been working on Windows Azure for a long time. They were one of the early customers that we had at PDC in 2008, talking about their experience moving some of their stuff onto Windows Azure. So so these guys have been with the platform for a long time, and so we definitely appreciate that.
Yep, great content there. Okay, well, that brings us to the feature. Today it is the CDN. Steve?
Today we're going to talk a little bit about the CDN, or a content delivery network, that is part of Windows Azure. And basically, the way the CDN works is that you store your data in a blob container, and the CDN sits on top and has, I think last time I looked, 18 different locations around the globe that basically re-host and reserve that content. So if someone comes in from the web and they happen to be closest to this one, they're in Asia and they happen to be closest to this one, they'll reach this node, which is a CDN node. And the CDN will say, yes, I have that blob cached, here it is. Or if it's not yet there, the CDN will go ahead and reach out to the full URL, to the blob container. It will fetch the blob that you're looking for. It'll come back, and then it'll serve it back out. So it's just a cache. If it's not there, it goes and fetches it from blob storage. If it's there, it caches that and feeds it out to people. If someone else is in a different location, they hit a different CDN endpoint, the same sort of thing happens, and so they get a cache from there. So the point of using a CDN is to get better performance and better throughput in a whole bunch of different locations. So very close to the user. So when a user wants to get to your content, an image or a video is the stuff that people commonly do. They'll hit the CDN endpoint instead of making the full round trip to blob storage, which isn't in as many locations. We've got 6 locations where you can store your blobs themselves, but we have 18 locations that are really meant to be close to a bunch of users in the CDN.
Now, you can actually control how long stuff is cached in there, so it's not like it stays in there forever, correct?
Yeah, there's actually there's a header. It's an HTTP header called cache control, and this is a standard HTTP header, and it's what the CDN uses to know how long to keep something alive. So the CDN uses a default time to live of 72 hours, and that's the maximum. But you can set something shorter in that cache control. So if you have content that changes a lot, you want to make sure to set the cache control header. The way you do that when you're storing your blob is either in the put blob, the REST API for put blob, you can just set the header, cache control, or as you're doing a set properties on the blob, or even during the put blob, you can use this alternate one, XMS prop cache control. I sure hope I got that right.
It's an XMS one. It's pretty easy to find.
It's one of those. You'll find it if you go look for the documentation on put blob or on set blob properties. Then you'll find the name for this. So you can change that when you want. But keep in mind, once you've set it to something, once the CDN has cached some content, it won't forget it because it won't go back to blob storage at all, no matter how you set this. So this only takes effect before the CDN reads the blob or before the next time it reads the blob. So if, for example, you put something up and you decide you want to change it, but you forgot to set the cache control to something short, it's going to be cached in the CDN for a while.
Right. That's great. Now, we have a quick view here of what this looks like out on the portal. Let me bring it up with... You want to explain why there's this horrible picture of me taken?
I wanted a blob to demonstrate the CDN capabilities, and so I took a little picture of Ryan earlier today. Yeah, for blob storage. That's the story.
It's a great picture. Thank you, Steve.
So here we've got the portal up, and this is just me browse to a demo storage account called CDN Demo. And to enable CDN, there's really only one thing you have to do, which is push the button down there that is called Enable CDN.
And for everyone at home, just go ahead and take note of these numbers here.
Now, fortunately, we told everyone not to take notes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we're safe.
Okay. So I click this Enable CDN, and it's gonna warn me I have 60 minutes to propagate worldwide. Do you want to continue? I do.
So it does. It takes about 60 minutes. Sometimes it's faster, but it has to reach out to all those different nodes across the globe and give them all the settings and all the mappings. So, so it does sometimes take some time to propagate. So it's there now. Now we can see the endpoint. So there's a CDN endpoint there of AZ2429 dot a whole bunch of stuff. If you're viewing this show, that means that more than 60 minutes has passed, and that URL should probably be live. If you put at the end of that, /public/ryan.jpg, you'll see that beautiful picture of Ryan
being served from the CDN. Maybe I'll replace it by some...
or Ryan has taken note of my access keys, and we'll put a different picture there. So be sure to check out that URL to see what Ryan put there. One thing I want to point out is you get this kind of ugly domain name. So when you choose, you know, when you make a storage account, you get, you know, mything.blob.core.windows.net. At least it's sort of branded with your thing. And if you're using an application that's running in Windows Azure, you get something.cloudapp.net. So it's kind of a pretty URL. It's not your own domain, but it's something kind of pretty. Here you get something really ugly. So this is a good time, I think, to...
I think this is pretty memorable.
You like it? Can you remember?
AZ2429. Seems
dot,
seems
dot what? Don't look.
.vo.ms.
Yeah, no, he looks. He cheated. He can't do it. So this is a good time to point out that you can use a custom domain name for anything in Windows Azure. You can use it for an application, you can use it for a storage account, or you can use it for an endpoint on the CDN. Yep. So, Ryan, if you click that Manage button down at the bottom under the custom domains thing, yeah, so right there, if you click that Manage button, that will bring up the UI for us to set a custom domain name for our CDN endpoint. So go ahead and put something in there and press Generate Key. I love cheetos.smarks.com. Great. I could even set that one up. So the thing that you need to do is you need to own this domain. And the way that you prove to Windows Azure that you own the domain is by doing this verification step. So if you see, we just got some big guid.ilovecheetos.smarks.com. If I go to my my domain registrar, I happen to use GoDaddy for smarks.com. Do we get paid now that I've mentioned GoDaddy? I hope so. So I would go over to GoDaddy. I would put in a CNAME mapping of that long GUID, that whole thing, to verify.azure.com. I'd come back here, and I would click Validate, and Windows Azure would then go see that I did, in fact, set that, which means I must own the domain. And so at that point, Windows Azure is happy to serve up my content on that endpoint. I still have to go back to my domain registrar and map ilovecheetos.smarks.com to AZ, whatever, I've forgotten it by now.
AZ2429, come on.
.vo.mscndn.net. Yeah. Maybe I'll actually do that for the show, so you may actually be able to see this at ilovecheetos.smarks.com /public/ryan.jpg. We should do it. So anyway, so that's what you do. The same process works for doing a CNAME mapping to a blob storage account. And if you're doing a CNAME mapping to your Windows Azure application, to something.cloudapp.net, you just need to map it. You don't even have to go through this step. So it's even easier there. So that's CDNs.
CDNs in a nutshell. That's beautiful. Thank you, Steve.
And I'm afraid to say it now, what's coming next, because last week, when we said the TIP of the WEEK, we got some crazy graphics and some horns honking from, from our editor.
From our very talented editor, yeah. We weren't expecting that.
So we thought we should give him a challenge this week. Each week, and we should ask for something different. So this time, it's time for the tip of the week, and when we have the tip of the week, we should what? We should see a picture of a gazelle and the
roar of a walrus.
The roar of a walrus. I think that without those things, it's really not tip of the week.
It's not tip of the week.
So we need that.
So here it is. Here's your tip of the week. Is that a cute gazelle?
Hopefully we just saw a gazelle. If we didn't just see a gazelle and the roar of a walrus, then we just look stupid. And kudos to our editor for making us look like idiots.
Thank you.
So, what is the tip of the week this week,
Ryan? The tip of the week is dealing with the path too long error. So, Jim Nakashima, a.k.a. Mr. Cloudy in Seattle, which, by the way, fantastic blog. Jim works on the Visual Studio 2010 Tools team. He's the guy responsible for putting out all those tools that integrate with Visual Studio, or his team at least. And Jim is a prolific blogger who tends to also give us some really great tips. So one of the ones that folks might run into is the path is too long. The reason is you'll notice that by default, when we host up your application, we use C users, WAC username, app data, local, DF temp, right? And then what happens is you have this path to the web role, which they can blow up. You have the ASP.NET temp root. All these things get added. And at the end of the day, it ends up being over 260 characters long. So the way you fix this is you can actually set an environment variable. Now, Jim goes into a lot of detail in here. It happens to be the CS run state directory. You just simply need to set this up on your machine, restart Visual Studio and the Dev Fabric. And next time you launch, it'll be hosted at this much shorter path, hopefully with something like C drive A, and you will not hit this error.
So basically, there's not a lot you can do about the rest of that path, because that comes from the length of your DLL names and things like that.
Exactly.
But you can certainly do a lot about that, you know, hey, we bury it under local data, you know, app data thing. So that should help.
If you root it a much shorter path, you're basically going to alleviate this issue. So with that brings us to the end of the show. I appreciate everyone's attention, rapt attention and notes. Remember Steve's storage key. And until next time, keep your head in the clouds. We'll see you next week.
And we'll see you from Mix next week.
We should have mentioned. Yeah.
We're going to both be at Mix, and so we were going to record something from there. And so if all goes as planned next week's show.
If you see us at Mix next week, you should come up and say hi to Steve. Maybe he'll put you in the show.
And be sure to tweet to us at
Cloud Cover Show. On Twitter, and I think
good thing we both said that at the same time, because that makes it easier for people.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Cloud Cover
Show.
Okay. So at Cloud Cover Show, I think we're up to like 5 followers now.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like it's really gone viral. So
thank you.
Thank you.